Welcome to another episode of Inferior Men, the podcast that brings you all things business from two complete failures.
That's me.
That's me too. How's it going, Steve?
I'm doing good. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
It is. It's a nice day. It's that teaser, that Chicago winter teaser weather where
yeah.
You're like, maybe.
But no.
Sorry, two more months.
Get ready for March.
Yeah.
There's always like that March swell of just terrible cold.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Crunch, this week is a special week.
Yeah.
Because we have a very special guest with us.
We do.
Katie, how do you pronounce your last name?
It's Katie Spietzen.
Spietzen.
Yes.
Nice. From Mother Cluckers.
Yes, yeah. Hi. How y'all doing?
Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Katie, you reached out to us because we are kind of in the same line of business.
Very much so.
Yeah.
I have two businesses. I have the Mother Cluckers, which is a stand-up and storytelling group out in the Chicago suburbs. And I also am a comedic storytelling strategist helping businesses learn how to storytell to expand their brands and to increase sales engagement and all that
so
good stuff.
Cool. When I heard that, I was like, this is the best title ever.
Yes.
And you said you gave it to yourself.
I gave it to myself. I totally was like, what am I? I'm like, I'm a strategic storyteller strategist. And it's fantastic because, you know,
yeah,
I get to be in charge of all the things.
So how did this come to be?
Okay, short version.
Yeah.
Short version, long story short, I've always been a storyteller. Okay. I started doing stand-up 20 years ago in my hometown of Los Angeles and loved it. Came out here to the Chicagoland area to attend Northwestern. And when I first graduated from college, I wanted to work in documentary film. So I was really lucky. I worked behind the scenes on shows for A&E and the History Channel, National Geographic. Realized after a little bit that I could not be sarcastic to the people through the computer screen,
yeah,
or the television screen actually at that time. So I pivoted, went and got my master's in ed from DePaul and taught for the Chicago Public Schools for a couple years, middle school, which is the best comedy training period,
yeah,
because 12-year-old boys do not give a shit about state capitals. Like, they just don't. And so had to keep it real every single day.
Yeah.
Took a break when my two daughters were born, and in returning to the stand-up world, I realized two things. First of all, I'm old and can't stay up late anymore, which is why I created the Mother Cluckers close to my house in LaGrange. And also, a lot of my friends in corporate were having trouble engaging with clients, especially in this new age of everything is a story. I mean, like even Instagram, they call it Instagram stories.
Right.
And you are your brand and your brand is you. So I've kind of just rolled it all into one, and I do... I have clients in the political specter. I have corporations who work with me, and we help them tell their stories in an amazing way.
In the ad world, there's always a story to what you're selling
exactly.
to your clients
exactly.
or to the world. It's all about stories.
Exactly.
That's great, though. And so it's quite a hustle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a big old hustle, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so constantly you're just like networking, trying
yes.
to get in. Okay, awesome. Mm-hmm. And fun stories, I assume, come out of... your
yeah.
business.
You know, yeah, I just, it's amazing the places it's taken me. Like just recently, I have a client who is running for state representative, and never in a million years did I think that I would be somehow working the political specter, but it's so cool having her as a client because there is a story to what she's doing, and it's fun to kind of dip my toes into areas I didn't necessarily think I would be going.
So you essentially teach them how to tell stories?
Yeah, it's a couple things. It's teaching them how to tell stories if people are more of an introvert. How do you get them out of their shells? For my corporate clients who are in sales and who are naturally already selling.
Yeah.
It's teaching them what I call back pocket stories, because you never know when you're going to be in that dinner or the one-on-one and you can connect with a client on a personal level about something.
Sure.
But if you don't have, like stand-up comedians, very few people just get up and go. Like, you have your rehearsed material that you work on over and over again. And I'm sort of bringing that to the business community, because if people can have these stories ready to go in their back pocket, they can engage with clients or coworkers, mm-hmm. and it's natural and authentic and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
But your greatest strength is like having prepackaged goods, exactly. that don't feel prepackaged.
Exactly. It's right. Yeah. So it's a lot of fun, mm-hmm. and you know, there's just so many different ways it can go, and I love engaging with people and, you know, all that good stuff.
When I was new mm-hmm. to the ad world, mm-hmm. you know, we would take our clients out to dinner after like photo shoots or,
exactly.
or whatever.
Yeah.
And I remember one time that one of our clients was telling us the story, mm-hmm. and I excused myself to go to the bathroom. And when I get back, they hadn't talked at all while I was away, because he wanted to tell the story to the full table.
Oh no!
So I pissed off the client by
Lord.
Leaving mid story, and B, he was like, okay. And now we can resume.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
It was so awkward.
That's, but you know what? Thank you for that, because that's going to be in my toolbox.
Yeah.
By the way, if the client's telling a story, hold it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
No, it was a good lesson.
Yeah.
It was a good lesson learned.
Very cool.
And then Mother Cluckers.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that. So it's about surviving parenthood.
Yeah, it's comedy for parents and people who've had parents. So it's a lot of fun out in the western burbs where I live.
Which is my hometown.
I know, it's so cool.
LaGrange, Illinois.
LaGrange, or until we moved out there, I thought it was LaGrange.
LaGrange.
LaGrange. Ah! Have you seen the signs in LaGrange that say, LaGrange?
Yeah.
I like to go, LaGrange, just because I think it's funny.
I always said, like I was peeing.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of places you can go with that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, long story short, it was a sort of a combination of a couple things. A, pure laziness on my part, because I like going to the city for shows, but not always.
Right.
And also just my homies, they need it, laughs and drinks. So we have a great show the third Thursday of every month at Anderson's Bookshop.
Nice.
And that starts at 8:00. And then afterwards, we have an after party at a really cool whiskey bar called Barrel House Social, which I don't know if you've been to yet.
I think that's new.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a good spot. It's on Burlington, and they have a good beer garden. So, you know,
nice.
Everybody wins.
Yeah. And it's just like a good way for parents specifically.
Yeah, parents, but also the thing that's making me so excited is, like, last we had a show on Thursday, and there were women of two generations, 20-year-old girls and mm-hmm. young ladies and their mothers mm-hmm. and aunties, and so that was great. I have over 30 rotating comics on my list.
Holy cow.
Because the Chicago female community is so supportive of each other, and you know, it's a blast. It's so much fun.
That's great.
And it forces me to write once a month, which, you know, is killer.
A nice creative outlet.
Yeah.
Well, we have so many questions, but you know our show and how it works, so we just wanted to dive right in.
Let's do it.
And get your opinion on some headlines. Chris, what do we have in the headlines?
Well, one thing, before we even get into the headlines, there's a little thing that got stuck in my craw.
Oh, okay.
That I've just been seeing recently.
Okay.
And
now, we call this burning the biscuits.
Burning my biscuits.
All
what
right.
burns
now,
your biscuits?
Now, the one thing is, if you've watched, you know, television, streaming, whatever, you may have seen these commercials for a new company or newish company called Upwork.
Yes.
And it's for freelancers.
Yes.
And their whole shtick is calling out, hey, Elon Musk needs some help getting to Mars.
You've been busy lately.
There's a freelancer for that. I'm sure Elon's got Upwork on speed dial.
Yeah.
No, his was for personal assistant.
Personal assistant.
Which is weird to me. A freelance personal assistant. I don't know how it works. But
then we were playing.
I have one.
We were playing through them, and it was like, hey, NASA. And it's like, hey, NASA, have you lost your fucking mind? Like, why would you get a freelancer? Like, you guys can get an engineer from Harvard.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you know what? I think I'll just go on Craigslist.
It's basically,
let's wing this one.
Yeah.
The Uber of freelancers.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird.
The side hustleization of
our
economy.
So wait, you have a freelance personal assistant?
Yeah, I do. I have a virtual assistant. I have her for 10 hours a month.
Okay.
And she does a lot of, she actually lives in New Mexico. We connected through friends. And what's up, Caitlin? But she's awesome. And she does a lot of like my MailChimp, my social media stuff, because as a solo business owner,
right,
and especially in this world of media, I mean, I've got to raise two kids too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time to do all the things.
Right.
So she's awesome. And actually, I'm launching a podcast next month, which you guys are going to be a part of later in the season.
Amen.
Called The Bossy Cluckers. And she's been instrumental in that as well.
That's great.
So,
but I think, Chris, your point is like,
less on the people working those jobs. Mm. Nothing against Caitlin here.
No.
I'm saying
we love Caitlin.
Caitlin's great.
Upwork's angle in terms of targeting, hey Jeff Bezos, President Trump. It's and then the amount of disclaimers that they need to have on these ads in order to get through them.
Yeah.
Hey Upwork, need a lawyer?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There's a freelancer for that.
Yeah. I'm sure you have
for
it in
all
your
these
own
cease and desists that are coming your way. You will certainly need one.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's just a ploy. It's a name dropping in order to like catch people's eyes.
And speaking of big names, just ruining stuff here recently.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Kylie Jenner. Dude, she posted on Twitter the other day. She said, so does anyone else not open Snapchat anymore? Or is it just me? Ugh, this is so sad.
Oh.
$1.3 billion.
That's so sad.
The stock dropped.
So people just immediately called their bookies and were like,
Kylie said no.
Yeah.
Kylie said no.
Yeah.
Sell. Kylie said no.
Yeah.
It's just that simple.
It's that easy. That also shows you how knee-jerk our investors are in Wall Street, where we're like, the economy's stringing along. And it's like Kylie Jenner posts a tweet and we just chip $1.3 billion off the economy because of Kylie Jenner saying, I don't want to use Snapchat anymore.
Yeah, that's the day and age that we live in.
I know. It's but don't get me started. Like, I just don't
understand. Please, get started.
Okay, so let me get started. Here's the thing that amazes me about the Kardashian clan, and I know I'm not the first to say this.
Mm-hmm.
I really remember, like, there was before Kanye, she was married to a football dude,
Or basketball dude.
Guy, Kim. And I remember that wedding and saying, hallelujah, Jesus, the 15 minutes are up. It's over.
Yeah.
And here we are, you know, probably a decade later, still into this. And, you know, little baby Kylie, who now has a baby of her own. It's just, it mind boggles me as a woman to be like, we're still about these people.
I know. They run the world.
They do.
It all started with like the whole Paris Hilton
and
Britney thing like 10, 12 years ago. And it just kind of, just, there's always one person willing to take on, be the flag bearer.
Yeah, exactly. So, you
know. So you thought, you thought that they were going away.
I really did. I remember there was some magazine cover and I bought it for that reason. I'm like, their 15 minutes are up. This Mm-mm. wedding is going to kill it.
No.
And guess what? Hi, I'm wrong.
Yeah. They are now influencing the
stock market.
Yeah.
Sweet Jesus.
Yeah.
So why didn't she like it? She was just bored with it?
They had the new upgrade. They had the new update of Snapchat, which people have been backlashing on, right? Because just like all these other social media outlets, they've heard in the media is how everybody hates social media because it pits people against one another. Mm-hmm. And so then they said, what we're going to do is make a platform that is more about community and people interacting with their friends. And then people were like, I don't want to see that. I want to see Christy, like, Tea Gardens, like, cookies that she made.
Exactly.
Like, I don't want to see what my mom does.
Yeah. Well, hopefully she gets back on it so their stock goes back up. I mean, who else would quit
Hopefully.
Snapchat?
What do you care?
No, I don't care.
I'll be honest. The only time I've ever used Snapchat in my entire life is, you know how they have the funny faces?
Yeah.
My daughters love to be like a puppy. So that's it. That's like my entire Snapchat. Yeah.
I love to be a puppy, but my nephews, if I need some crowd control on my nephews, I just get them to stare at that screen and just do funny faces.
Let me tell you, Steve Jobs' ghost raises my children. There's no such thing as too much screen time in my house. I'm like, here you go, kids.
That's tell your go-to.
Like, my kids will look at the iPad with the same reverence as the Von Trapps remembered Maria. Like, it's and I'm cool with it.
I like that phrase, Steve Jobs' ghost raises my children.
He does. He surely does.
Well, that's America for you.
Exactly.
Trump is president and Kylie Jenner
Oh, sweet lover. God.
Influences stock market. here's the thing. We're also really bad with money.
Me it's too. Clear. That's so funny.
It's clear that we're bad with money.
Yeah.
There was Moneyish had released some good facts on why we're bad with money, and I want to get your guys' point of view on it. One is we have record high debt, which is not the most surprising, but the idea that nearly one in four Americans say they have more credit card debt than emergency savings.
That's not horrifying at all. not a little bit.
American households had $13.1 trillion in outstanding debt. That's more than a billion.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
So one of the simplest fix is pay off your debt.
Yeah.
That's the solve.
Yeah.
When did anybody ever teach anybody to be like, you know what you should do is like, don't spend more than you have.
Right.
Try that as a starting point.
Yeah,
and that usually that can get you so much further. It's amazing how many times I've personally felt like I am not in like the greatest financial place.
Yeah.
And then I'll go somewhere and they're like, wait, you don't have any, you don't have any credit card debt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Do you have credit cards?
I do. I don't even use them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so like, they're like, people just look at me and they're like, oh my God, like you're like golden, man. Don't worry. Like you're fine.
Yeah.
Like you'd have nothing to worry about in this world. Everybody else around here is like 20 grand in debt. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right.
But walking around like they're fine.
Yeah.
The next one was more than half of Americans have less than $1,000 in savings.
Wah, wah.
So if you have like an emergency visit to the ER or some car payment that you need, nope, you ain't got it.
No.
You ain't got it. So here's another tip. Save money.
Yeah. Have you guys tried ever those new apps that are out that like round up your
Mint?
Is that the one that rounds up?
That's not Mint.
I don't think it's Mint. Yeah, no, it's something else. It rounds up your pennies and it puts into a savings account. I'm like, that's genius.
Oh,
I haven't heard of this. It rounds up every purchase.
Okay, yeah,
so every time you
do
a purchase, you like you might link that card to the purchase, and so if it's like, you know, 25 cents, it'll just throw it into a savings.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I've heard good things about that. And something that, here's a little life hack that I have for you kids, especially any of you newlyweds out there.
Okay.
My husband and I will be celebrating our 10th wedding anniversary this August.
Cheers.
I know. And so what we've done is, since we've gotten married, we've put $100 away a month.
Okay.
So basically $50 a paycheck to this vacation fund. And we're going to Italy for 10 days.
Shit.
October. Yeah. And so like, it's amazing. Like you look at it and you get it done. And not going to lie, it's points I've been like, it's so nice that we have either a honeymoon fund or a divorce fund, but either way we're covered.
Yeah.
Just kidding, love you Chris, but you know, it's a really easy way to do something fun too.
Chris, you were saying that you were talking to people earlier who were like assuming that you have all the money in the world because you own a condo.
Yeah. like people I work with, or not even people I work with, just people in general, they'll be like, oh, you own? It's like, yeah. It's like, and then they look at you like, oh, this guy's got a lot of skin. It's like, I just got done having a conversation with you where you went and were spending like $100 a night for dinner.
Right. Like,
every single night. And then you go to vacation to like Thailand for like 2 weeks. And you've been on like three or four vacations this year for a week at a time around the world. And then the guy who drinks milk and eats like a cup of rice for dinner every other night,
which is you,
which is me,
oh man,
I'm like, you know, Scrooge McDuck over here.
I feel like your baby eats better than you do.
Oh, she definitely does.
Your baby's gonna do everything better than you do for at least the next 5 years.
Oh,
just letting you know right now,
for sure.
Yeah.
The third fact of why we were bad with money, we are more worried, like you just said, Chris, about paying for our next vacation than about saving enough for retirement.
Take my idea back and forget it.
No, but no. But I think
it's one thing when you save for vacation for 10 years. It's another thing when you take so many vacations, you don't take vacations, you just travel.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a nice, I like that way to think about it. Yeah.
And the idea of just like every spring break, you have to go to the Bahamas or like an all exclusive Caribbean kind of.
I saw Steve, I haven't taken a vacation in like at least 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
At least 10 years where I've
gone to hang out with family and stuff.
Gone to hang out with family. Yeah. And I've done like a weekend in like Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, betcha, Norm.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay, this one's a good, this one's an interesting one. Millions of us hide money from our spouses and partners.
Oh, man, you can't do that.
Which is weird to me. It seems like yucky.
That's really weird.
Yeah, when I got married, I had some girlfriends who were like, make sure you have your secrets, you know, your secrets account. I'm like, dudes, why? Like, why? Yeah, like,
that's scummy. Gross.
I know. Like, it's very, you know, I don't know. I'm like, I don't think he's going to beat me, but you know.
An estimated 12.
Even if he does, then you can just take the money anyway, right? Yeah. I mean, it's just, well.
Not quite. That's a different road.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
An estimated 12 million Americans confess they have kept a source of money secret from their romantic partners, according to creditcards.com.
It's just
to creditcards.com.
Then don't be married or don't be together or like just, in something.
You need to be able to trust the person you're with.
It's like, what else are you hiding?
Exactly. I'm with
dead bodies.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And then lastly, we prioritize paying the wrong bills first. So usually if you have like a personal debt, like if I were to owe Chris money, mm-hmm. I would be stressed out about that more than my high interest credit card. Because I would be like, well, I don't want to owe Chris anything. Mm-hmm. I don't want him to break my legs.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, but the credit card companies are probably worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The thing is, I feel like this isn't just like a pick 'em. I feel like there's just people that are just like, I've subscribed to all five of these at once. And yeah. That's like my lifestyle is like all of these.
Right. Well, and why it's so bad that we're with money is that this list, the answers are just so obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Save money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Be honest. Pay your bills.
And I think also too, like, we have to remember, because we see so much like now on all the social medias, like, I want all the things. Mm-hmm. You don't get to have all the things. Mm-mm. Nobody does.
No.
Even mm-mm. Kylie Jenner can't have Snapchat anymore.
I
poor
know.
Thing.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I know. Bless her.
It's just easy, but it's so easy to borrow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you're just enticed to borrow constantly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Constantly. Every store card, every baseball game you go to where you get a free t-shirt.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's
coupons,
just
coupons, rope you in.
Yeah.
Coupons. Those those weekly flyers will get you.
let me tell you something about the coupons I just got.
Yeah.
So I shop at Mariano's and I got in the mail this week, like, you are a valued shopper. Thank you so much for shopping. And I open it and the coupons were specific things that I know I buy regularly. But some of them, like one of the pages were like things I know I bought at one point, like coffee at Mariano's when I was taking the train, but haven't bought in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like getting that.
It's good. That's detailed. Smart. Yeah.
I know. It's super smart, but it's kind of creepy at the same time.
Yeah.
So we are hopeless, our current generation. But Chris, there's some exciting news for the future.
Talked
generation.
About this last episode.
Yeah.
The recent Toy Fair, some of the more exciting things that I've seen recently is just getting kids more activated in the creative process in terms of how it connects back to technology today. And
you love this. You're
I'm a big advocate of this. I mean, I even got let me just kind of explain what I'm talking about here first, is that Mattel is starting to release a new line of Barbies where it's going to teach kids how to code and utilize the Barbie toys. I think some of them are like little like Barbies on Segways,
cool.
And you can code them so that you can do remote control stuff with them. But this is really like the kind of fun thing that I like to think in terms of the way we're going with toys, where in the past it was like Legos, you know.
Well, Barbie's come a long way, because when I was in college, one of my girlfriends was a double engineering major in Northwestern.
Mm-hmm.
And as a joke, we got her the Barbie that said math is hard.
Mm-hmm.
There was literally a Barbie that said math is hard. So like, at least, you know, Barbie's somewhat, it would go, math is hard. We're like, here you go, Liz. Have a good time. So
there's a 2014 book that they came out with for Barbie that said, I can be a computer engineer. Aww. 2014.
Well, you know, better late than never. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's because I've got daughters now, but I'm like, all right, that's all right.
It was, I mean, it's good. It's like a nice attempt, I think, like 4 years ago. But you're like, what do you mean I can't? Like, I don't know. It's like, you can just have a little more like gusto behind that too, I feel like.
Yeah.
Now, do your kids know coding? Like, is that
so? They're six
now?
And four. So we have a cool little like coding robot doohickey that they got for Christmas. Doohickey being the technical term, of course.
Yep.
And so that's been fun for them to play with. But we're not 100% into it yet. Actually, what my daughter is going to an entrepreneur camp for girls this summer, which I'm really excited about.
Nice.
So, but we'll be getting into the technology. We do have a teddy bear that talks to them and is really, really
Teddy Ruxpin.
It's not Teddy Ruxpin. It's some other teddy bear that's fucking creepy, but you know, it's probably telling all our spies to Russia.
But you code this thing or program
But it does, you interact with it. So like the kids show it like cards and it registers the QR code and it does stories.
They show them your
show
driver's
me mommy's
license.
Credit card.
Exactly. pretty much. Kill mommy.
Show me mommy's
There's
social
just a
security
card scraper
exactly.
on
pretty
the
Pretty much.
Back.
Pretty much.
What camp is she going to?
It's called, all right, so Mission Propel is a really cool yoga empowerment camp for girls.
Yeah.
And they're having yoga empowerment camps for girls, and it's a week
Damn.
Long, and it's entrepreneurial, and all the girls are creating their own popsicle line.
Okay.
And they're going to sell them, and they're learning all the entrepreneurial things.
Shit.
So I'm excited.
I went
that.
To basketball camp.
No,
when I was
right?
a kid, and I don't know. I don't do basketball anymore.
And I don't even know what basketball is.
That's the one with the hockey pucks, right?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as, you know, like they're teaching kids coding now, mm-hmm. but they're not teaching cursive, I'm like, uh-oh, I'm useless.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Just rein it in. Mm-hmm. I'm obsolete.
I mean, kids don't even know how to like tell time anymore.
All right, this is embarrassing. My daughter is almost 7. She does not know how to read a clock
yeah.
because I'm an awful parent.
Well,
but
I mean,
okay.
it's just
like
how
a digital
often
clock?
Do you come up? No, no, like a hand swept clock. How often? There's really not that many moments that we come across it. Too,
but also, to be fair, I don't want them to know time because we can still lie to them about what time bedtime is.
Yeah.
Because the day that's out the window, we're fucked.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
You're like, it's 8:30, and they're like, it's still sunny
out. You have no idea. We lie to them all the time.
You mean just the concept of time? Not
yeah.
even like how to tell it, just the concept
yeah, yeah,
of it.
Yeah, exactly. We're like, it's bedtime now because like I know my days are numbered with that, and you know.
So Barbie.
It's something for her to tell
is a foot like your foot.
Yeah,
you
pretty much.
You rule
yeah, exactly.
the king's foot.
I am the queen of all things. It is great.
So Barbie coding, mm. you would yay this. We
Absolutely.
Usually play yay or nay.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I mean, I think any time that you can integrate like a life skill is awesome mm. for kids.
Love it. And when's it coming out?
Soon? I do not know.
Okay.
I do not know when it's coming out. That they're targeting for this year, and it
cool.
was in some of the toy fairs. So.
Well, there's another program coming out mm. that teaches important life skills, and it is Ghostbuster World. Yeah.
When? Right. When and how?
It's coming soon in 2018. I don't know when specifically,
dun,
but
dun, dun.
It's basically Pokemon Go.
Mm-hmm. With Ghostbusters.
With Ghostbusters. And there's nothing more important than teaching kids how to bust.
I can't wait. I can't wait to almost run over 1,000 people this spring.
I know.
Just walking like a bunch of jackasses in the middle of the intersections.
Now, I know that your wife loved Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
And did you ever play it?
No.
Did you ever play?
But she would actually like leave our house. She'd be like, oh, I have to walk down the street because there's like a thing. There's like a, what do they call them? Like a, not
a
like
Pokemon.
A, no, like there was like
oh,
a
gym.
A gym.
Like a
that
dojo.
Was it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
A gym.
So you would go to like these, like you would go to a library.
Okay.
Like someone would program a library to be a gym and then you would go and fight other Pokemon using the ones that you caught.
So you would be standing there silently looking at your phone against like an 8-year-old who was silently looking at their phone.
Exactly.
And then you'd like, when the battle was done, you'd just leave.
Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. not depressing.
There was a whole I think we talked about it on the show. There was a whole Pokemon Go event that happened in Grant Park. That they.
See, I think that kind of stuff's fun.
Yeah,
yeah, but they got sued.
Like a flash mob. They got sued
because the network like went down because there's too many people using cell phones.
It's like, at least that's a safe space.
Yeah.
I just hate the people that are like.
Yeah, not
like in the middle of the damn street.
That's very true.
There was people like you're not kidding when you say like I can't wait to hit people driving down the street.
The only Slimer is going to be Danny when he gets run over by a pickup truck.
I for one am excited about it.
Yeah,
yeah. Say anything that has Gozer has my my seal of approval.
You're a big Ghostbuster fan.
You have no idea. So back in the day when I was little, my neighbor we had lived on a cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
We all played Ghostbusters, and like one kid on my block's mom made him a suit, and we all had the plastic
nice.
Ectoplasm things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like very hardcore.
Yeah.
So I support this message.
And how do you feel about augmented reality? In general,
you know, I think it's kind of cool. You
yeah.
know, I'm a big video game nerd, and
okay.
I always have been. But I've always been big into the like the King's Quest of Yore, if you remember
sure.
that game.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a reboot recently, so I don't know. I'm behind it.
It's the way
Whatever.
Of the future.
I was saying, you know, you can't stop progress. Blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm. Don't try to.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't take
I want my augmented I want my augmented reality of Steve Jobs' ghost. So I can like physically beam him onto the wall and be like, Uncle Steve says,
yeah.
look at your phone.
It's coming.
Here's your real daddy.
Exactly.
It's coming.
Who's your daddy?
Yeah. I mean, how they had like the head jars in Futurama.
Right.
Exactly.
We'll have them soon enough.
Exactly.
It'll just be AR.
Yeah.
That's
perfect.
All.
Sign me up.
And with that, you ready for a break?
I'm ready for a break.
Let's take a little break.
All right.
I need a quick breather, and we will be right back.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, Steve?
Remember when we recorded at Second Bedroom Studio?
Oh, you mean episode 12 and 14 with our fanboy, Brad Kemp?
Wasn't that a great experience that any and all should take advantage of?
Yeah, especially because he has venison in his fridge.
And a dog!
In his fridge?
No!
Well, Brad runs Second Bedroom Studio, which is a local Chicago music production and recording studio that offers recording,
mixing and mastering,
original composition and voiceover work,
music production, and more!
If you're looking for high-end music production, regardless of your budget, Brad and Second Bedroom Studio is your answer.
We love Brad, and you should too. Check out Second Bedroom Studio in Chicago at secondbedroomstudio.com.
And we are back with Chris and Steve and our special guest, KT.
Hello!
Now, KT, we were talking earlier about your job.
Yes.
Do you have like a... What was like your favorite project that you worked on or favorite client?
Oh, gosh. Well, I love all my clients equally,
of course. Of course.
It's hard to pick amongst children.
Yeah.
But like I said, I'm working on Alexander Edinburgh's campaign, who's currently running for the 17th district. So it's been really fun getting in on the political specter.
Yeah.
I've also enjoyed just working one-on-one with clients who I kind of like it when I get the when I have clients who feel that they can't be funny, because that's something I get a lot, is like, but I can't be funny.
Right.
And I actually, like, my literal life belief is that anyone can be funny.
Sure.
It's just mining that story and finding your own unique perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like working with those clients because it's fun to see
like their faces.
Their faces, yeah. And just in a relatively short period of time. Like, I was at a workshop a couple of weeks ago, and this woman, again, like, we were doing some exercises. She's like, but I'm not funny. And we just worked, like, a couple of minutes one-on-one, and hers was one of the funniest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, when I work with women, a lot of women worry about being too mean,
mm-hmm.
and I use air quotes. And it's amazing because if it's your own experience and you're not doing it in a harmful way,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're going out to be a bitch, like, don't do that. That's mm-hmm. not a cool thing.
Sure.
But I really enjoy people helping grow.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's nice.
It is. Yeah, it's nice. When mm-hmm. I used to like direct shows or teach kids mm-hmm. comedy,
mm-hmm.
it's nice to see them get into their own skin. And
exactly.
Just be like, oh, mm-hmm. I found it. I have an epiphany now.
Yeah. Honestly, our first Mother Cluckers show, three of the comics came off of my daughter's kindergarten class mom list, because I just found a couple funny ladies. I'm like, you're funny. And one flat out didn't want to do it. And
really?
She's like, I'm not doing it. I'm like, well, tough, you're fourth. Like, you better show up. And
God, that's good.
No, literally. And yeah. Now we're all taking comedy classes in the city together through the Cates, which is a really great organization.
Yep.
Kelsey Huff is a good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really cool.
We worked with Kelsey Huff at Studio B.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, when that was around.
Very cool.
And you are a mom of two.
Yes.
Daughters.
Yes.
And Chris is a dad
baby
of
Nelly.
One.
Baby Nelly. I gotta say, I was listening to your guys' show last week where you were mm-hmm. saying, like, who would ever buy this thing to take them to the airport? Was that something you guys were talking about?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
The luggage.
That's the
honey,
one yeah.
You don't know how many things you're gonna buy one time.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just brace yourself.
Yeah.
I'm just a little bit of...
Do you feel like you already have that? Some of that stuff?
Oh, God, yeah. Well, a lot of it, too, is like hand-me-down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes people give us stuff. I'm like, I don't know. Because a lot of times it's like, I don't want to buy it because, like, it costs like $100 to try it, essentially. It's like, are they going to like this chair? Are they
going to
like this rocker?
Yeah.
And
because you could like it.
Yeah, no.
It doesn't give it.
It might look nice.
Yeah, no kidding.
And just because it costs more doesn't mean your kid's going to like it. It's like the old thing where it's like the kids like playing in the cardboard boxes at Christmas Day more than the toys, right?
Yeah. I had one kid who, like, if there had been a house fire, we would have taken the swing out in one hand, the baby on, like, the chest, and the cats in the other. And then the second one wanted nothing to do with it. It was, like, infuriating.
Got it.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
Each kid is different.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. We need a little bit more advice.
Yeah. Katie. Let's get back.
What do you need? Mama's here.
Jennifer McDaniel writes from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Steve and KT, love the show. I'm glad that Steve is finally exploring some new co-host options for the show. Katie, you are a breath of fresh air.
Aww,
that is interesting.
That's so nice.
Her employer recently granted everyone in her office a monthly work from home day.
Ooh,
okay. She says, I am a mom of a 6-month-old and feel that if I work from home, I'll end up spending most of the day taking care of my son.
Yes.
We have a great daycare plan here, I guess like in our area, where we can pay daily. So it would be a huge cost savings for us. What are your thoughts on me working from home when I know I'll probably be less productive but save money for my family?
It's really interesting. This is an interesting thing because this is something I've been dealing with a lot. And I actually just joined a co-working space for this reason. And both my girls are, well, granted, my youngest is in school part-time, but it's amazing when you're home, the things that also need to get done, like the laundry or the, you know, the XYZ part of having a family. And so for me, I find that going to a co-working space, even though, you know, financially it makes more sense to stay at home, I get more stuff done. So I'd say, so is she saying exactly, just to make sure, is she going to be staying home every day or just part of the time?
It's like once a month.
Once a month. Oh, once a month, girl, stay home for that day. And, you know, if you want to keep your kid home, or also just send that baby to daycare and have a quiet house to yourself for a mental health break. I mean, I would absolutely send the baby to daycare that day.
Yeah.
And
so you can't, you have a tough time working from home?
Yeah, just because, you know, I don't know if it's a woman thing or it's just the stay-at-home working thing, but when I'm at home, what is it just to do this quick load of laundry? What if it's, right, and the next thing you know, you haven't done shit all day. Right. So just for me, I do sort of half and half.
No,
at my
totally
co-working
agree.
Space and half at my at my house.
Because we were reading, we were talking about this on a previous episode of like people find that they work better when they work from home. I am not that way.
Yeah, no.
Video games are at home.
Yeah.
Also, if you have kids at home, you're never going to get as much work done.
Oh, God.
And I think
I don't
like,
get anything done when they're home.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And if you have a office structure and. And I think a lot of times we see the work from home days popping up more in an office that's dominated by younger workers where they maybe don't have families yet.
Yeah.
And it's easier for them to say, hey, I can go home. It's a quiet space for me.
Yeah.
My home is not a quiet space.
No.
And secondly, like going to the office is my way to like disconnect like my work and my home. And so I need that too.
Yeah, me too.
So you are advising Jennifer, just do it.
You know what? If I think one day a month sounds great, but please, for the love of God, put that baby in daycare that day. Because no, you will get absolutely nothing done. Like,
there you go.
When my kids are awake, I work certain hours during the day. They're home after school, and after bed, I work again.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good advice. Good luck, Jennifer.
They're monsters.
Good luck.
I love them.
All right. Oh, enough about your kids.
Exactly.
So, guys, one thing that I came across this week in Bloomberg Technology, and I think this is just a really interesting thing that we all need to think about as we move forward with self-driving cars. And so we always think about the technology behind the cars themselves. How are the cars going to start and stop, recognize when a kid runs in front of them and things like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How are they going to know where to get around?
Mm-hmm.
What if there is a mudslide across a road? Or a road
or a traffic jam.
Or a traffic jam.
Yeah.
How are these cars going to decipher instantaneously the world around them? Mm-hmm. And in comes this story.
Oh.
Where it says, nobody wants to let Google win the war for maps all over again. And so essentially what we're saying here is, there is a new battle out there in the business world.
And it's around, in the Game of Thrones world.
Thunderdome.
Yeah, Thunderdome.
However, this time, cartography.
Okay.
Ooh.
We thought Magellan had closed the book on it, right? Sorry. Again, we are with Waze and Google and Bing.
Yep.
But this is where whoever controls the maps are going to control our cars.
Crazy.
Like, think about that.
Yeah.
So the race is on, my friends.
Oh, Lord.
The race is on. Who can have the most elaborate, self-sustaining map?
So why can't they just apply it to Apple Maps or Google Maps?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
It has to be something different completely.
No.
Oh.
It, that's the thing.
Oh.
But who is going to have the best?
Got it.
What car, like, who's going to have the best map that the car is going to adopt that map?
Yeah. And what does it say what makes a best map? Or what would be your
idea? It's going to have to be able to be intuitive.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing cars that are starting to adopt Android devices onto them. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is going to happen? You're essentially having millions of data points constantly updating the road. And this already happens now with Google Maps. As you're running it, Google Maps is monitoring your data usage and monitoring your GPS usage on the map. So it that's how you can get traffic.
Yeah, but it's very slow. Like, I'll be stuck. I'll be looking at my map and be stuck in traffic, and then it turns red, and I'm like, all right, well, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for
Nothing. Yeah. But thanks they're basing it based off of usage of that app. Whereas once they just have it in the car, it's a whole nother story. And the only way to truly know, like, what's going to happen is if you have a million data points like that.
Right.
And so it's not one, it's like the weather. It's not one Doppler in the center of the United States doing one big sweep. It's a billion little Dopplers that are going to give you the whole weather pattern.
It's crazy, man. A, for the idea that, like you said earlier, you never know what's going to be needed to, like, control a specific function.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, people are, like, racing to be the victor in this. Because having the best map means that you can control the cars.
Remember in 1985 when we wanted cars to fly?
Yeah. And now look at us.
Yeah.
I was looking at something where they're saying... the automatic cars are making people puke, and they're trying to figure out how.
Oh, that's another story.
That's just like jerking motion.
Oh no!
And that's Google. That's Google's with Waymo, because Google owns Waymo. And so, what they're starting to figure out is, like, okay, we need to just, like, make it go in a more, like, roundabout way, because if we try to take it like herky jerky, people are just getting sick in these cars.
Oh, I just imagine all these people just puking on the highway.
Yeah.
And how are you supposed to, do you just have to have a million cameras inside of, like, an autonomous taxi to be like, vomit.
Vomit, clean up aisle four. Yeah.
Just little, like, arms coming out.
The person gets out and the car just fills up with foam.
Wally, the little monster Mo.
Oh, yeah.
You have a little Mo in each car.
Yeah.
Mo
was actually my favorite one.
He was so cute. Yeah. Mo.
Well, it's also terrifying, because we always talk about the robots taking over.
Yeah, there.
Because now our cars just, like, know the world. They know the map, the land.
But when this land is their
land.
Off?
This land is their land.
And what if they want to go off-road?
Ooh.
Because they'll know. They'll be like, hey, this guy's phone, we know his phone, and it goes to this residence. Autonomous cars just drive right through his front fucking door. Boom, 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 boom. They can just kamikaze right into the house.
Now, Katie, do you watch Black Mirror?
I don't, actually. Okay. Yeah, no, I know of the Black Mirror.
Yeah. It reminds me of a specific episode, but I won't say it, because, Chris, you haven't watched it either.
Oh, man. Get 3 month old.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, we're worthless. Like, I'm 5 years behind
they'd
in
love
pop
it.
Culture.
Your kids would love Black Mirror.
Yeah. It's something about, like, dystopian future where everything's just like hell on earth.
Love it.
Fantastic.
They'd love it. Well, speaking of cars, in related news, the whole idea of Ubers and Lyfts and just this whole taxi service is now really starting to kill parking.
Interestingly enough, in the town I live in, the LaGrange Business Association is actually thinking about changing their parking structure in the next 10 years because they're going to need more Uber spots than they're going to need parking spots.
Wow.
And that is suburban Chicago. That's not like New York City.
Well, and so this is the news of so parking at hotels in San Diego has dropped by 5 to 10%. Restaurant valet demand is down 25%, and the biggest drop are nightclubs, and the demand for valet parking has dropped a whopping 50%.
Mm-hmm. Ubers are like half the price of like a standard taxi.
No kidding.
All in all.
Absolutely.
So it's like, why? You don't even have to drive anymore.
Right.
Yeah, you don't.
Like, you don't even have to risk it.
Mm-hmm.
Why? You would in the first place? I'm not sure, but either way.
There are days where I will find free parking, like a real good spot. And it's hard because I live in Lakeview, so it's hard.
Oh my God,
And I'll just be like, fuck it, I'm just going to Uber.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because I'll have to pay for parking anyways, no matter where I go.
I'm going to have rent a car when I'm in LA this week. Yeah. And actually, I know I'm going to park it at where I'm staying and Uber the rest of the time.
Yeah.
Even though I have a rented car.
But that's another thing. Like, if you're on a business trip, like if somebody's coming to Chicago on a business trip, it's the same, maybe cheaper just to Uber for that three or four days than to rent a car at the airport, drive around, find parking, or pay for a garage. For like, businesses will just be like, you know what, just put it on the company Uber.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't matter.
They're saying though that cities actually stand to benefit as demand for parking drops.
Yeah,
which is super interesting that they will always have a play at it.
Yeah, less lots,
right?
More buildings, more sky rises, man. Yeah, pack it like. Parking
Bring
lots
in
are
all
good
the
for,
people.
Parking lots are good for the people who own them. It's like parking lots, self-storage, car washes.
Yeah.
Those are like low overhead, high return businesses. But, you know, Chicago would rather have, you know, a couple more towers downtown than, you know, than a $3 hot wax. You know?
Yeah, that's true. It's just, it's shuffling around money. It's like, okay, so now our parking drops, well then we're just going to make
another Disney store.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the wave of the future, folks. In
Very
terms of
cool.
driving and parking.
There's another wave of the future.
Ooh.
I can't wait.
We do a segment on this show every so often, Katie, and it's called Next Great Idea.
Ooh.
So Steve and Katie, we've talked about some products on the show before, like the Mattel Aristotle. And this was essentially an Echo Dot for babies. And so we've seen a recent push to dovetail parenting solutions with 21st century technology.
Ooh.
So which leads me to this. So Katie, as a parent,
yes,
you've dealt with crying babies.
Yes.
Hissy fits.
Yes.
And general crankiness.
Yes.
And I bet you've said to yourself at one time or another,
can I light this baby on fire?
I wish I could press a button to make my child calm, to make my child calm and quiet.
Okay.
Well, Katie?
Yes.
The time is now. Introducing Franklin.
Franklin?
A digital smile maker for your baby. Franklin is the key to unlock your child's perfect temperament. Each Franklin kit comes with 8 pint-sized cathodes that connect to precise locations on your baby's body with Franklin's Wi-Fi-enabled parenting hub. When your baby becomes fussy or cranky, Franklin reacts immediately, gently playing a lullaby while activating its corrective current technology. Parents are immediately notified through the Franklin app, so you'll never miss a moment, because lost time is never found again. Now, I'm sure your immediate thought is,
we're zapping the baby.
Is there a way to adjust the corrective current? Of course there is. As a parent, you deserve to have full control over your baby's happiness. Just increase the joyous meter within Franklin's app until the baby smiles and walk away. Hmm. Now, I'm sure your second thought is, what if I miss my baby? Hmm. Don't worry. Franklin also has augmented reality capabilities. So no matter where you are in relation to your baby, baby is right there on your cell phone.
Oh my God.
Guess what, America? We're expecting. In 2018, our family is growing with a new line of products. Introducing Ben Jr., a Franklin product for toddlers with enhanced corrective mobility currents. Join the parenting revolution with the help of your new best friend, Franklin.
Holy cow.
Wow. And it ended right. I mean, you timed that out real well.
Nice.
So, Katie, what do you think?
All right. First of all, I just want to make sure I have it clear in my brain. We're talking about electrodes to your baby?
Cathodes.
What are cathodes? What the hell are cathodes? I think you have catheter. Are we putting catheters, electric catheters in babies?
Just sticking them to their head.
Yeah. Oh, it's those, like... Speaking of Ghostbusters, like what you'd put in a...
Yeah, what you put on Rick Moranis' head.
Exactly, Rick Moranis' head. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, so I say this. So my oldest had severe sleep and GI issues as a baby.
Okay.
So we literally did not sleep for the first 4 months of her life. And at that point, I would have thrown $1 billion at Franklin. So I think for the truly desperate parent... You've got something going. And for the truly desperate parent, they pay a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But from now that I'm stepping back, having parents of older children, that shit freaks me out, man. That freaks me out. Putting cathodes on your baby?
You sure you don't want to have a robot react and
Honey,
raise your
I
child
already
for
had,
you?
Listen, I
Are
already
you sure?
I already have Steve Jobs' ghost. What else do I need? I don't need anything else.
I ordered toilet paper. Alexa ordered toilet paper for me the other day.
Yeah.
It showed up at my house. Okay. Why can't I just have my kid? I could tell, hey, Alexa, shut that kid up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand. I'm not knocking it 100%. I can't get the image of, Rick Moranis' head, but as a baby, just like going, oh, mommy, I don't know.
So would that robot just be like a third parent? Would you have to invite it to like the graduation parties and
stuff?
Oh,
that's an excellent question.
Yeah.
Well, it's always there. I wanted to keep this, you know, as short as possible for commercial purposes.
Yeah, I understand.
So imagine imagine a hub, like a little echo hub, right? Uh-huh. With the cathodes coming off of it, going to your child. Now, Ben Jr., the nice thing,
Ben Jr.'s
great. Enhancements with Ben Jr. Is that there'll be a little pack that your child can wear. And it'll just have it on at all times. So if there's any issues, you can just activate the corrective mobility currents and it'll
stop
your child in their tracks.
Okay. I have a great idea. That's a pretty good idea. Mm-hmm. I feel like that baby's going to have a lot of back and neck problems.
I was going to say, I think that baby's going
to
have a lot of therapy.
I'll tell you what, I go to the chiropractor once a month, they put those things on my back. I feel like $1 million.
Okay, well, there
so
you go.
I disagree with you there.
So just line it up with a good chiropractor, and then you're set.
You put them in the sweet spots. You're all good.
You know what they say. Put them in the sweet spots. I have an idea that I've been kicking around. It's not fleshed out yet.
Okay, cool.
But I have a specific theme with my next great ideas.
Okay.
Because I want to just nail a really good dog idea.
Cool.
And Chris, I don't know if you know this, my friend Christopher Crunch over there loves dogs.
And there's two things I just hated you just said right there.
Oh, okay, cool. Does not like the dogs. Understand.
So, what if, you know, like Wags, where it's like Uber for walking your pets?
Okay.
Or your dog specifically.
Okay.
So you just like hire somebody to go and they have a key.
That would be great if they showed up and there's just a ferret there. There it is.
So what if
they
added a function like it was a separate app, but it's related where if you're walking down the street to the grocery store and there's just like dog shit everywhere, you can mark it and someone's hired to go pick up the dog shit.
Geotagging dog turds around.
Yes.
But here's the thing. Yeah, I support that because I once lived in a neighborhood in Ukrainian village where it must have been decreed like, please let your dog shit everywhere. Mm. But who's paying for this? Like, why would you ever pay to get your neighborhood cleaned up? I mean, other if you're a nice person, but I'm not nice.
So the system, like the app, would hire people similar to how you would hire
Uber.
It has to
be an app too.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, I mean, it's still in the working
phase. Okay, cool. All right.
I'm sure the city would pay for it.
That's what I was going to say. Like, is this brought to you by Rom?
Say you have to do a fecal analysis of every single dog and get them their feces registered with the city, right?
Oh, my
then
God.
Then every turd is analyzed with 182 point inspection.
And then you get the donor,
and then
right?
we decipher which dog it is and we exterminate it immediately.
They're coming for you, Sparky.
Wag.
Wag or run.
Tag. Yeah. This one would be called tag.
This one would be called tag.
But here's the thing, is that the workers, the people who are going to pick up the shit, it would be like a point system. So if they collect enough poops, they get a free dog. There's a lot of dogs in like the animal shelters. So if you pick up five,
that's your reward.
Yeah, if you pick up 500 pieces of shit, you get a dog.
Can I just get a Starbucks gift card?
Yeah, no kidding. Good lord.
Yeah.
Really fast. So
yeah,
good idea. Great idea.
You know what? If Rombo would pay for it, yes.
Okay. Now, this wasn't in the set list. I apologize. I'm slipping this in here last minute.
Going off book.
We play a game, usually, called Yay or Nay, where we find weird products and we either slay them or yay them and see if we would get behind it. I came upon one, Chris, that I think you would like since you hate dogs so much. It's a therapeutic cat pillow. Now, for those of you who can't see it, it's essentially a pillow that has a wagging tail.
Oh, my God.
And all you do is you just pet it and put it on your lap and pet it. It's supposed to soothe you. And it looks like a cat without legs and head.
Oh, my God. Oh my God.
What do you think?
Dude, I don't know.
It's like an old couple pet.
Kubo? Is that what it's called?
Something like that.
Q-O-O-B-O. Yeah.
Please promise me that this Kubo. Video is going to be in your show links.
Is it just a Roomba with a...
That
it's has a cover over it?
Yeah. And it doesn't move at all. But
until you leave and then it sweeps your floors.
Yeah, and if you pet it differently, the tail does different things.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah. What do you think?
Oh, my God.
Even grosser.
Really?
Get a teddy bear.
Yeah. Get a cat.
Yeah.
Go on Tinder. Get a companion. Go to a local watering hole and say hello to somebody.
Yeah.
Go to a library. So go to a game night at a library and play Scrabble with someone.
As opposed to petting this pillow.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, I say yes to that.
Now, what do you do to, like, you might have described some of the things. Yep. What do you do as, like, therapy, like a therapeutic? Like, if you're at home and you're a little bit stressed out, what do you do? Do you, like, light candles or do you, like, wear, like, a heavy blanket?
I have a heavy blanket. I have one of those weighted blankets.
The anxiety
blankets?
Those are actually nice.
So
we have like a really heavy like duvet on our bed, and it just feels good to have that like pressure on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got a 12-pounder from Amazon. Like, that thing don't mess around.
So are you yang or naying a cat pillow?
I think you know where I stand.
You're naying it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. KT.
All right. Feel free to mock me.
Okay.
But as someone who had cats, loved them, but found out husband was allergic to cats and had to give up cats, even though I now have Ginger the Wonder Pup, I miss my cats.
Aww.
And so I wouldn't tell anyone I owned this product. I would not advertise it. I might not even, this might be the secret I'd keep from my husband. Yeah. I'd like bring it out like when he was on business trips and just pet my weird, you know, Roomba cat. But
sure.
Right. I actually, if I was gifted one, I wouldn't return it. That's the way I would put it.
Okay. So you would.
I would own it shamefully.
You would slip away into a closet.
Yes.
And just like pet light a little candle.
It's in a box with all of your drug paraphernalia and pornography and that cat pillow.
Exactly.
Well, there you go.
Totes.
Guys, what's the moral of today?
Ooh.
Steve, you always ask the question. What do you think?
I think the moral is use common sense.
Hmm.
You know, when it comes to your money. Mm-hmm. When it comes to just like raising a child and choosing the right decisions, it's not hard to do the right thing, is what I'm finding.
Sometimes it's easier to do the easier thing.
Yes.
Put money in your savings account.
Mm-hmm. And save money.
And just save money.
Yeah.
Right?
Honestly, we may have just ended this podcast forever by just saying, don't spend money you don't have and save money. That's it. Bye, everybody.
Yep.
Thanks.
Goodbye. Good night.
It's been great.
28 episodes in the can. We're wrapping it up. What do you guys think? You got one?
No, man, I agree. Okay. I think you're right on with that. I mean, honestly, it's just like, let's simplify things. I think we oftentimes overthink things. What we need to do is just address problems head on and not try to overcomplicate everything. It sometimes just makes everything more complicated.
Sure.
Very cool.
Do you agree?
And mine would be to learn to fucking drive, because apparently it's the only way you're gonna be the only one on the road, and you're gonna have all the parking.
Mm-hmm.
So that's mine.
There you go.
Keep that driver's license.
KT, do you have plugs coming up?
See, very soon, the Bossy Cluckers podcast is going to be coming to you, bossycluckers.com, first week of March. So that's really exciting. The Mother Cluckers, we have shows every third Thursday of the month out in LaGrange. And I am available at ktspeetson.com if you have any storytelling needs. Anyone's welcome to hop on a call for me, free 30 minutes, and see how I can help you out.
And where are you on the social media?
So, KT Speetzen, SPEETZEN, .com is my business site, and mothercluckerscomedy.com is my website.
Perfect.
And also on the Instagram and Facebook.
And it'll be in the description too of this podcast.
Perfect. Oh, guys.
Yeah. I have a show plug.
Ooh, go.
Me and actually producer Drew is in a show this Friday at Laugh Out Loud Comedy.
Great.
Laugh Out Loud Theater in Chicago.
Fantastic.
It's called Party. It's a improv show based on the favorite game of Dungeons and Dragons.
Sweet.
Now, Chris, how much Dungeons and Dragons have you played in your life?
Never played it.
Great. Mm-hmm. Well, come on out and just watch some funny wizards and rogues. How dare you? Chris, any show plugs?
I'll be at the Secretary of State next weekend. I got to get my driver's license updated.
Sweet.
I moved 2 years ago and still do not have my address updated on my driver's license. I have been putting this off for so long. I'm gonna probably get there before they open, like a half an hour.
That's a good idea.
If you guys want to come, I'll be there. We can have a cup of coffee together.
Yeah.
And we'll
bring the baby because you might jump
I'm
the line.
I'm sure she's gonna love the DMV as much as everybody else.
No, but I mean, she might help you jump the
that's
line.
True.
And being legitimate, like
that's a good idea.
I have done that.
That's a thing.
That is some motherly advice, right there.
Let me tell you,
wow.
I'm here to help.
Thank you,
KT. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks
on the
for having me.
It has been a damn delight. For everyone out there listening, thank you for joining us today and every week on Inferior Men. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and write a review on iTunes. It would help us out a lot. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your enemies, anyone. Inferior Men is part of the Universe Head Podcast Network. To check out more content from us and find other great Universe Head podcasts, go to universehead.com. We'll see you next week. And remember, the superior man drinks 15-year-old scotch. The inferior man drinks expired milk. Join us next week for another episode of Inferior Men. Good luck, everyone.
Good luck.